It's time to eat.
Get in my belly.
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Ross Tucker and Evan Silva.
Me so hungry.
On the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby. Hard to believe we are 1 week away from the 2015 NFL Draft, which means we are getting really close to some of your keeper league dynasty drafts. And really, let's be honest, I mean, a lot of the year-round drafts or a lot of the pick drafts, you know, redraft leagues are coming around the corner as well. So it is almost fantasy football season. The schedule is out. Now the draft will take place next week. If you aren't spreading the word about this podcast, I don't know what you're doing. Tell everybody you know. Your grandma, your uncle Mildred, which would be a weird, weird name for an uncle, but just go with me on this. I'm just speaking extemporaneously as I'm sitting here. The point is this. Let's spread the word about this bad boy, because pretty soon the contest to get in this year's Fantasy Feast Eaton League is going to be coming, so you want to make sure you can be a part of it. RossTucker.com, always the hub for this. You can also, though, hit us up, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, a bunch of different places. If you really want to support the podcast and be a true Feast fanatic, go to the page that we link out to and hit up some of our sponsors. We really, really appreciate those of you that do that. My name's Ross Tucker. I think most of you probably know that. Played for a while in the NFL as really a journeyman offensive lineman. You can follow me on Twitter, at Ross Tucker NFL. He's Evan Silva. He's really the master of all he oversees at rotoworld.com, which is the place to be right now for your fantasy football content, your draft content, and more. Speaking, by the way, of draft content, I am very excited about today's guest, Evan, because I think it's important. You know, you and I are going to spend a lot of time after these guys get drafted going over every team and going over the draft picks and the situations that they find themselves in. We'll see how the preseason goes, what their usage looks like, etc. But I think if you really want to win your league, I think you really have to have some understanding of who these players are before they get on a team and you're looking all about team fit as opposed to who these players really are.
Yeah. And, you know, Josh Norris, who we're going to have on, we've tried to hit the draft angle pretty hard. We had Matt Waldman on, a guy who I know that Josh, thinks very highly of, I think very highly of, and now we're going to have Josh on it. And when I'm looking for opinions on, you know, draft eligible prospects, Matt Waldman is a go-to guy for me. Greg Cosell is a go-to guy for me. And Josh Norris is a go-to guy for me. And I'm excited to get his take on some players that, you know, we're going to talk just running backs and wide receivers. We don't have to talk about quarterbacks and tight ends. I just want to focus on the running backs and receivers. In fantasy, it's critical that these types of players can handle a lot of volume. That's what we're looking for, you know, people who can catch a lot of balls, handle a lot of carries, in the running game. And those are the kind of players that I want to ask Josh about and whether he thinks that some players like a Devin Smith at Ohio State was a low volume receiver at Ohio State. And I want to know if Josh thinks that Devin Smith can handle more volume at the NFL level.
Well, let's do it. Without further ado, he's a guy you should be following on Twitter, at Josh Norris. He's been on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast before. Next week, we're actually going to break down some of the injury concerns with these running backs and wide receivers with Mike Ryan, longtime NFL athletic trainer. But today, it is about the backs, it is about the wide receivers, and it's about Josh Norris. He's today's big eater. All right, Josh. And I don't know, Josh, have you been on the Fantasy Feast before?
Oh, yeah, I have, Ross.
Nice. So I know awesome, you've been on. I know you've been on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast.
I've not been on the Fantasy Feast before. Just the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. I just had to get out my Ross Tucker impression to start this thing.
Nice. I like it, dude. Enthusiasm's so a big awesome, part of life. Bro. What's that, Evan?
So that was so awesome, bro. Awesome.
Nice. Well, so for those of you who don't know, Josh is the college football draft analyst for RotoWorld.com. Spent some time with the Rams organization back in, what was that, 2012, 2011, Josh?
It was 2010 and 2011.
2010 and 2011. So has some experience in the NFL, went to Elon, and now he's just crunching video, crunching data on these prospects. He might use weird words like density and web that nobody else uses, but don't worry about it. It's all part of the mad scientist that is Josh Norris. Josh, let's start with the running backs. And, you know, I think we all recognize that Todd Gurley is a unique talent. I don't think that we need to go any further than that in terms of his ability. The question is, in your mind, and we don't know what team's going to draft him, although it sounds like there are rumors that he might go in the top 10 now, and that it's looking more and more like he might be able to play week one. I guess without knowing what situation he goes to, Josh, is this guy Adrian Peterson? I mean, is he going to have a 280-yard game as a rookie? Is this guy going to have 1,500 yards? Is this guy somebody should think about drafting in the first round of their fantasy redraft? Is he that type of guy?
Well, he's a foundation piece, right? So I think that may not put him in the Adrian Peterson type of talent, but I do think that he's going to be a workhorse back in terms of he's going to lead the team that he goes to in carries, most likely as a rookie, especially with how everything's pointing right now with the medicals. And the thing with Todd Gurley, once again, we won't go into all of the skills and everything, but in my opinion, there's a huge drop-off between him and the next talent in this class at running back. And everyone always talks about, like, how fast he is for his size, but it's not just that with him, right? It's vision, and it's footwork, and it's patience once he gets to the second level. And, I mean, he's at least an adequate pass-catching running back out of the backfield. There were plenty of times when he was used in screen situations, and he showed so much patience running behind blockers at the second level out in space and then turning on the jets and creating yards for himself. That's what really separates him from a lot of other backs, in my opinion, is that he can create yards on his own and not just pick up the yards that were blocked for him.
Tevin Coleman is a guy who, you know, I watched him and I thought that there were some concerns about him. You know, you don't see him beating contact very often. I know that his yards after contact numbers per CFF are excellent, but that's probably derived mostly from banging out long runs, which he did better than any running back in this class. But you really don't see him break tackles. He's stiff and, you know, a straight line-ish running back. So when I watched him, those were my takeaways. But he obviously can fly. I mean, you see that when you watch him. And he ran 4.39, I believe, coming off toe surgery at his pro day. And he can pass protect. So these are definitely plus attributes. And he can catch the football. Do you think that he is more of a change of pace back in the NFL? Or do you think that he could be a lead runner in the right kind of system?
I mean, right kind of system is really the key here, right? Like, Tevin Coleman, if he doesn't go to the Cowboys, then I'll kind of be down on him wherever he ends up, honestly. I mean, there are a few other situations like the Ravens and a few others that can really create so many gaps at the line of scrimmage for a running back to go through. But I'm with you, Evan. Like, we all have our types when evaluating, and I think it's a good thing to kind of put our bias on the table here. I'm all about running backs that can create yards on their own after contact, right? After beating first contact, because I think when evaluating for all 32 teams, that is kind of a trait that carries over and transcends scheme a lot of times. Now, in fantasy purposes, sometimes that contact comes 1 yard in the backfield with a poor team, and then you can only pick up 2 or 3 yards on top of that. Like you mentioned with Tevin Coleman, I mean, yeah, I think speed is the name of his game, but if he goes to a team that does not have an offensive line that either opens up obvious lanes in between the tackles or allows him space to bounce outside, I mean, he might be a running back that, sure, might get 12 carries, but then we'll have a lot of games that those 12 carries only turn into maybe 40 yards. But then you'll have games, if he does go to a team that does create those lanes, I mean, he can burst out 40, 50, 60-yard runs just like that. So it's tough to talk about Tevin Coleman in terms of how he's going to do during his first year until he's drafted, but from a ranking perspective, from a running back perspective, I wouldn't put him in the top five running backs in this class.
It's interesting, Josh, because when you talk about Tevin Coleman, some of the things you say about him are some of the same things I felt like I saw with Melvin Gordon. Now, I wouldn't say I studied him, but, he looks fast to me. There were some big holes. Like, I watched that Nebraska game. All right, well, when there's a big hole, he took it 80 yards. The guy can roll. Yeah. But I didn't see him make a lot when there wasn't much there. I didn't see him breaking a bunch of tackles. Now, it's beyond hard for me to watch that guy play and not think of Jamal Charles. I mean, it's just insane, the body type, the hair, the jersey number, how they carry the ball. But I'm looking at him, and a lot of people think he goes round one or high round two, and I don't see him making that many yards on his own, and catching the ball out of the backfield is a big concern. So I'm just wondering, when he goes to a team, if he's not playing on third down and if he's splitting carries on first and second down, how much fantasy value does this guy really have?
Yeah, and that's obviously the huge question. Like, in a vacuum, just evaluating these prospects, I much prefer Melvin Gordon. Because and I'm with you, Ross, in that, I mean, I don't think he's Todd Gurley. I don't think that he is a first-round candidate, even though he probably will go in the first round. But I wouldn't say that I'm uncertain about him against contact. I did see him beat first contact more than I did, say, a Tevin Coleman. But there are some, like, nuanced and detailed things that people don't love about him, right? He stops his feet behind the line of scrimmage. He ran a lot of zone blocking at Wisconsin from that right side of the offensive line and picked up a ton of yards. I do think that he has more pass-catching ability than given credit for. He just wasn't asked to do it a lot. So once again, teams will have to kind of project there and based on their workouts and private visits and pro days and things like that, see how he's doing. But I would be much more comfortable, no matter where they land, drafting Melvin Gordon ahead of Tevin Coleman if you're comparing the two.
David Johnson from Northern Iowa is a guy who I had never seen until, the first glimpse I ever got of him was at the combine, and which he just destroyed. I mean, I think he might have the number one spark score, him or Zenner, from, out west. But David Johnson, he averaged over 5 yards a carry, crushed the combine. He's 6'1", 224. When you look at him just on paper, he looks like an animal. But then when you watch him play, I mean, I found that there were some significant concerns. Yep. He seems like he doesn't love contact. He does not finish runs. He runs super high, so it doesn't really matter that he's 6'1", 224. He packs no power. He reminded me of the Blaine Gabbert of running backs. That's what I nicknamed him, because he will literally turn his back to the defense as he's running toward it. I mean, just really very little physicality to his game. Did you see anything different from David Johnson when you watched him? Do you think, how do you think that he will be best utilized in the NFL? Do you think that he could be a volume runner, despite those concerns?
Well, this isn't going to be a positive, but he kind of reminds me a bit of Isaiah Pede, if you remember that name from Cincinnati, who I think was a second or third round pick with the Rams and completely fizzled out. I would say that David Johnson is best as a receiver. Like, that's his best role. That's his best attribute. And he's a really good one, actually. Like, they motion him out. They put him outside as a receiver, and he, like, has the ability to adjust, can make contested catches away from his body. So, like, a Shane Vereen type role, even though Shane Vereen did carry the ball and is a pretty good ball carrier, in my opinion, David Johnson might not be as good of a ball carrier, but in those third down situations, in those passing down situations, I think that's going to be his best role. Look, everyone likes to hang on to flashes, right, when evaluating skill position players. And there was one with David Johnson during the Senior Bowl game where it was a zone play, and he put his foot in dirt and cut it back inside or across the grain of the defense and turned into a huge carry. Now, I would say that he's much more uneasy, much more uncertain, not comfortable enough to consistently do that, in my opinion, to make the right decision, to see the lanes, to see the field. I think there are some major issues here with David Johnson as like a just your typical technical running style, I guess, that you're comfortable with. But I'm really interested to see, because of that athleticism, because of that receiving ability, if David Johnson actually produces early on, because I think he can in those passing situations. But I think that's first and foremost ahead of him being as a runner.
You know, I'm curious, too, about some of these other guys, Josh, like a Jay Ajayi or an Amir Abdullah. Out of kind of that group, those two guys, is there a guy that you think has a better chance to really be productive as a rookie?
You're asking me to kind of split hairs here between them, in my opinion, because I think they're very, very close in talent, and they're both very good athletes. Evan, you mentioned spark scores. Abdullah has the best one of this running back group. I mean, he's a ridiculous athlete in terms of explosion, not only behind the line of scrimmage, but also once working through the second level, and then he breaks contact a lot. And then he's also a capable receiver. I think Amir Abdullah, I wouldn't be surprised at all if he's behind Todd Gurley in terms of immediate production in the NFL. Jay Ajayi is a fascinating prospect. He's obviously a bigger back, and sometimes he uses that to his advantage. He can run over people, really break defensive backs' tackles once out in space. But then there are other times where he does not fall forward, where he just goes down with ease. And then there are other times when there is uncertainty behind the line of scrimmage, and then other times, I mean, he just shows ridiculous straight-line speed for his size. And he's another back that I think if he had like a Matt Forte role in terms of catching a whole bunch of passes, that's one of his best traits as well, just out in those flares, out in those swing pass areas. I wouldn't be surprised if both have more immediate production than Melvin Gordon III in terms of not based in gross stats, but just a per-carry, per-touch basis.
And one more RB, or two more RBs, and you know, you can just summarize how you feel about them. Duke Johnson and T.J. Yeldon, there are different opinions about what Duke Johnson can be in the NFL. Do you think he's another guy who's kind of scheme-reliant to be a lead back, or do you think he's just a change of pace back? And then T.J. Yeldon, you know, he was a committee back at Alabama. So, but you know, when you watch him play, I think that he shows all the attributes of, you know, a potential NFL workhorse. You know, what are your thoughts on Yeldon and Duke Johnson?
Well, I think you have TJ Yeldon's number one fan on this podcast in Ross Tucker. He's always talking about him every chance he gets. And I really like TJ Yeldon as well.
No, you don't, dude.
I know.
No,
I do.
You don't.
I
you have him as like the seventh ranked running back. That's basically like saying you hate him.
Ross, I appreciate a lot of what TJ Yeldon offers. I think that he's a top 75 talent. I think he's a top 60 talent in this draft. TJ Yeldon is smooth. He's agile. There's not a lot of flash or explosion or acceleration to his game, even though Ross always points to that one game or that one play where he sees the end zone and then accelerates the final 20 yards. I think it shows when he does see the end zone. I'm not saying that that's a big negative for him. Once again, I think he's very smooth in a zone scheme where every team really does run a combination of zone and base, I guess you could call it, or face up. But he will put his foot in the dirt and get upfield. And then what I love, and a trait that I am kind of valuing more and more lately, is falling forward on that final contact, right? It's what Le'Veon Bell does so well. It's what Jeremy Hill did so well. I undervalued that trait with both of those. TJ Yeldon does it very well because it picks up an extra yard or two just on that final stretch of the game.
And you know what's interesting?
Final stretch of the play.
And Josh, you know what's interesting is I talked about it on TV Tuesday night, and Greg Gabriel, who was the director of college scouting for the Bears for 10 years, was watching the show, and he tweeted me and said that Yeldon regressed during his career. And maybe I'm just remembering him too much as a freshman, but yeah. He said that he felt like Yeldon regressed. He got beat up in college at Alabama, regressed, and lacked speed. Because here's where I'm coming from. I guess I probably watched him more as a freshman than I did as a sophomore and a junior.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
As a freshman, I thought he was better than Eddie Lacy. I mean, Eddie Lacy was a junior. Yeldon's right. A true freshman. I thought he was better. And so Lacy's been a stud 2 years in the NFL. So how are you going to tell me that this guy that I thought was better when he was a freshman and this other guy was a junior is the 25th ranked running back like you have him?
I have him as the 6th ranked running back. Ross, here's the thing, and it's what I just mentioned. People latch on to flashes, right, in all these types of evaluations. Like, and they also hang on to and always think that the next guy is better than the last guy. I'm not saying that T.J. Yeldon's a bad prospect, and I think he's a good prospect once again. I would disagree with Greg in the idea that I do think he was very good, like you're mentioning, as a freshman, and I do think that his chances were kind of taken away, and maybe he did regress a little bit as a sophomore. But as a junior, I thought he was very good when given a chance. He just wasn't like a bell cow workhorse type back as we see at the college level. Quickly, I'll go over to Duke Johnson from Miami. I think he's probably, other than Tevin Coleman, the first change of pace back off the board. I just don't see how you can consistently give him 15 or 20 carries in every single game behind a line that might not open up a lot of holes, but instead he's the type that you want to get out in space, use that explosion that he has, let him work in the open field. And I think that that's a valuable trait for a lot of teams to have on their roster. But if you need someone in your roster makeup, in your team makeup, to carry the load, I would not draft Duke Johnson for that role.
Is there anybody else, Josh, before we get to the receivers, down the line that you could see in the right situation, you know, being a guy almost like a Justin Forsett, that, man, that's a rookie, whether it's David Cobb from Minnesota or Jeremy Langford from Michigan State, is there another guy that you really like that's maybe a little under the radar that could be a guy that somebody should take in a deep league?
Well, I love David Cobb and actually have him one step above T.J. Yeldon, which you probably think is crazy. I'm going to go with Texas's Malcolm Brown, right? This is another guy that was a high-profile recruit, has really flown under the radar because, once again, that was a committee back. But he has a lot of zone capabilities. He will put his foot, once again, in the dirt and get upfield. He's a no-nonsense type runner. And then even when I watched him, I saw him break contact frequently. And he's a very good athlete. Malcolm Brown probably won't be taken until the 4th, 5th, 6th round. I love him in that area. I think Malcolm Brown can be an absolute stud, much higher, much better, in my opinion, than Jeremy Langford, much better than a Buck Allen from USC. I think Malcolm Brown is really the gem of this class.
Well, before we get into the wide receivers, I did want to tell you, Josh, that almost as good as you is DraftKings.com, the official daily fantasy partner of Major League Baseball. Daily fantasy means no season-long commitments, instant cash, instant gratification. Don't wait until the end of the season to claim victory when you can win huge cash every day. Any sport, including baseball, is made more fun if you go to DraftKings.com now and enter our promo code FEAST to play for free. You could win part of the $300 million in prizes being awarded this season. In fact, hundreds of thousands of fantasy sports fans just like you have already cashed in at DraftKings. Now it's your turn. Use promo code FEAST for free entry now at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. Enter FEAST. First question is not about which wide receiver is better, Josh. I know you've answered that a million times. The first question is, which one of them is better suited to having a big rookie year? It sounds like the consensus on that is Amari Cooper because he's so polished. Do you agree?
So I know that Evan always talks about this, and I know a lot of the other fantasy guys that I talk with talk about this, and it's all about touchdowns, is it not? And it's about those bigger plays rather than kind of just bulk catch numbers that can, I guess, go for just a handful of yards. That I'm going to go with Kevin White, honestly. I think he has the potential to be a complete receiver. And this is a very simplified way of looking at it. But there's receivers that win in the small game, which is acceleration and burst and separation and yards after catch. And there's also the big game, which is those contested situations, those 50-50 targets. And Kevin White has shown the ability to consistently win in both. Now, does that translate over to the NFL when he potentially has to run more routes or doesn't have as friendly of a scheme to give him as many targets? That's absolutely a question. But in terms of fantasy impact and winning in both phases of those games and creating yards and points in both phases of those games, I would say Kevin White is the likely fantasy impact in his rookie year.
I like it, man. I watched some Kevin White early in the process, and then I went back recently and watched a bunch more, and I had not seen that Alabama game, which I think was week one last year. My goodness, man, he is an animal.
He's really good.
Yeah, so let's drop down a little bit. I know that you're not high on Jalen Strong.
Right.
When you look at him, he's another guy, when you look at him on paper, there are a lot of things to like. He dominated the Pac-12 as a 19 and 20-year-old. He's big. He tested really well. I mean, really good production. But when you watch him play, there are concerns. And I know a guy that, you know, I had question marks with a lot of similar concerns coming out of college was Alshon Jeffrey, because, you know, not a separation receiver, not a quick twitch receiver. Although I know that Cosell thinks that Jalen Strong's separation skills could improve when he becomes a better route runner, which he thinks is fixable. But I wanted to get your take on Jalen Strong. Do you think that he can be an impact early career receiver? Do you think that, you know, Jalen Strong is just not that good of a prospect because of some of the deficiencies that he shows, you know, in the games? And do you think that, you know, what type of receiver, if he does maximize long term, what type of receiver do you think that he would be?
Well, Evan, you know, we always talk about types, and I have my types in terms of at every single position. I was not Alshon Jeffrey's biggest fan coming out of college. I could not project him losing, 20 pounds, 15 pounds, and how it kind of changed his game for the better in some ways. I'm not saying a total overhaul, but you know what I mean. And I guess that's what's carrying over here to Jalen Strong. Not that he has to lose weight, but that they somewhat win in similar situations. Here's the thing. I think that Jalen Strong can succeed if he goes to the right system, if he goes to the right team. So not every quarterback will throw into contested situations, right? Or do it purposefully, I guess, and meaningfully with intent to let their receiver win. It's not an ability or a trait that every single quarterback has. I don't think that Jalen Strong consistently creates separation enough for my liking. Now, even in those contested situations, yes, there are absolute exposures and flashes where he does win a lot of those. I mean, you can look at the Hail Mary pass that won the game against Arizona, I think it was, and a few other situations. But I don't know if I can solely rely on that type of receiver who doesn't win there. And I mean, I can give you a percentage, but he didn't win enough there for my liking, for me to love him as a prospect. Can route running improve? I'm sure it can. I just, to me, prospects really do stay the same in many ways, or their strengths get stronger instead of weaknesses turning into strengths. And right now, the routes and creating separation is a weakness for Jalen Strong, and I don't think it can be turned into a strength.
Josh, what's your take on Breshad Perriman? Because depending on what you read, he's a second rounder, or he's a top 12 pick. He's one of those guys that's all over the board.
Yeah, lots of speed, obviously, and he won at a variety of levels. But what he really loved doing was getting downfield and obviously kind of the deeper portions of the middle of the field. Now, there are some drop issues, and negative drop rates have recently carried over into the NFL. Now, for fantasy purposes, are drops that big of a deal? Probably not. They're probably just missed opportunities. They're probably more of a big deal when looking from a team perspective, a game plan perspective, because it might not convert a third down. It might lead to an interception. But for a receiver like him, for fantasy purposes, that is a big body that can get down the field and turn 20-yard, 30-yard receptions into 40, 50-yard gains with a touchdown, that's pretty valuable. And wouldn't be surprised at all if he does end up in the first round. I think he's a great fit for the Baltimore Ravens if he lasts until the later part of the first round to fill that Torrey Smith role. And Torrey Smith has had drop issues throughout his career. Maybe he's improved them from year to year or at times. I know last year he did not. But Breshad Perriman would fill that role incredibly well right out of the gate and would prevent them from losing that type of spread the defense out, take the top off of coverages role in their offense.
Tyler Lockett and Philip Dorsett are small guys.
Yeah.
What is the primary difference between them? Do you think that one of them could be like T.Y. Hilton or Randall Cobb in the NFL? And if you were going to guess, you know, which one will have a better NFL career, who would you go with?
So there are differences between the two. I would say Philip Dorsett is more of your traditional shorter wide receiver that is ridiculously explosive and has tremendous straight line speed and that can create separation right out of the gate on slants and those quick moving routes with and being able to catch the ball in stride and continue to pick up yards. I think Tyler Lockett has a bit more of a physical nature to his game. He does win in those contested situations at times when asked to. He will leave his feet and go up and get it. Now, I don't think he's as easy of a separator as Philip Dorsett is, but I do think he's somewhat more, and this is very nuanced and detailed, and it might just be nitpicking, but he is more detailed in terms of creating separation with just his footwork. Like, there's not as much wasted movement. He has run a variety of routes and sets up his opponent and the cornerback with inside moves, with outside moves, things like that. It's tough again to say without knowing which team they're landing with, but I would say that Tyler Lockett will have a better first year just because of that ability, that flash to win in those contested situations, along with winning either from the slot or the outside as well.
The last guy I wanted to ask you about is Nelson Agholor from USC, because he's another guy that you're hearing a lot more about right now. Now, is he just smooth, polished route runner that's sort of a poor man's Amari Cooper? In other words, he'll be more of a compiler, but not big plays, not touchdowns, or is he more than that?
No, I would say that that's kind of his role, right? I would say that's kind of who he is. Amari Cooper hasn't always had the best hands in every situation, and I would say Nelson Agholor has even worse hands in some situations. Like, I wouldn't say drop rate is an issue, but he does have some inconsistencies in those situations. Now, can you use him on the outside? Can you use him on the inside like you do Amari Cooper? 100%. Can you use him at multiple levels of the field? Does he have straight line speed? Can he help you closer to the line of scrimmage on run after catch abilities? Yes, absolutely. Can he even be used in punt returns and kick returns? Probably. But to me, would I want to rely on a Nelson Agholor right now without knowing what team he goes to for fantasy purposes? No, because I think there would be a major difference if you put him in the Packer system compared to the Titan system. You know what I mean? He's not someone that's just going to transcend with his talent, but in the right system with the right quarterback that gives him the right amount of space in the right role, he can absolutely produce. I mean, he could be a 60, 70, even 80 catch guy in certain systems.
Absolutely fantastic. You are the man. You know these guys inside and out. And I think that gives us a great, great, along with some of the other people we've spoken to, a great handle on these guys before we get to the draft. Then after they're drafted, we're going to combine the knowledge we got from you guys with the situation they're in and really start to project these guys out. Thanks so much for coming on the podcast.
Absolutely, Ross. Talk to you guys soon.
I told you guys you'd like that. That, by the way, was once again an Evan Silva idea. I must give him credit for that because Evan's guys have been unbelievably outstanding. Dude, awesome job, bro, with the guest ideas. That'll do it, by the way, for the Fantasy Feast podcast for this week. Next week, we'll be coming out on Thursday again. We're really going to dive into some of the injury issues of these guys next week because that's the other piece to put together. That's not really Josh's expertise. We're going to get a head athletic trainer on because so here's what we've gotten. We've gotten the baseline for what multiple people think of these guys as players. And you can hear more, by the way, from Greg Cosell in the draft series on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Then we'll get the injury information from Mike Ryan, longtime NFL head athletic trainer. We combine those two with what team they go to. And then basically, once Evan and I have gotten the information from all of the experts, then we can come to our conclusion about what we think for these guys. We'll do that starting the week after the draft. Next week, we will get you informed on the injury issues for some of these guys, Gurley, Jalen Strong, Ajayi, etc. Really appreciate those of you that love this podcast, that spread the word via social media. Even if you just retweet Evan at Evan Silva or me at Ross Tucker NFL, that's appreciated. You can follow the official Twitter handle at RTF Podcast. We got Amazon banner ads if you want to support the podcast. If you have to buy something for whatever reason, there's an Amazon banner ad there on the Fantasy Feast page. It all counts. It all helps. And we really appreciate you guys listening and downloading this on multiple devices. Stick a fork in us, though. We're done.
Thanks for downloading the Fantasy Feast Eaton Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast and the Even Money Podcast as well, all of which are available at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.